Hallelujah. My coming here is the specific will of God. Hallelujah. Are you excited to be here? Can you scream to the Lord? Glory, glory, glory. So the man of God has already set the ball rolling. He has already prayed so I can flow in his anointing. Hallelujah. Amen. So last week we continued with our series on the 10 precious remedies against Satan's devices. The 10 precious remedies against Satan's devices. Now if you followed us for some time, this year we have really dwelt with teachings on spiritual warfare, because the times and the seasons that we are in, God needs to raise prophets that will conscientize and bring to the knowledge and awareness of Christians the ongoing spiritual battle against believers. And in this season that we are in, it's very expedient that we understand spiritual warfare as it pertains to the walk of the believer in Christ. And we began to look at 10 precious remedies against Satan's devices. We said that number one, or the first remedy against Satan's devices. Don't forget, Satan is a very, very, very smart spirit being. He cannot be underestimated. So many schemes, so many works, so many tricks. So it's very vital that we understand remedies by which we can be able to withstand his wiles against us as believers. So we said that the first remedy against Satan's devices is to walk by the rule of Scripture. The word rule is canon, which means the measurement. So the word of God is the measurement within which the Christian must function. Anytime you live outside of Scripture, you are exposed. Praise God. Satan knows that anytime you walk outside the word of God, you are exposed to the schemes of the devil. So the first remedy against Satan's devices is what? Walk by the rule of Scripture. We've explained that already. Number two, we said don't grieve the Holy Ghost. Grieving the Holy Spirit is a disadvantage for you in spiritual warfare. Because when the Holy Ghost is grieved, he will not leave you, but his ministry can be muted or hibernated. He can withdraw his near presence from you. The consciousness of his presence, he can withdraw. Are we following this? And we explain 9 things that grieves the Holy Spirit. We said number one is corrupt communication. Words can grieve the Holy Ghost. Number two is bitterness. Number three is extreme anger, uncontrolled anger. Number four is wrath. Number five is clamor. That's the outburst of crying, crying about everything in life. Number six is evil speaking or slander. Number seven is malice. That is wickedness or evil behavior. Number eight is forgetting God. Number nine is idolatry. Anything you keep in your heart, or anything you magnify in your heart above God. Number three, we said the third remedy against the devices of the devil is to pursue heavenly wisdom. Heavenly wisdom. We spoke about heavenly wisdom being supreme intelligence. There are many Christians who are intelligent academically, but there's a certain kind of intelligence that is not academic. We spoke of 4 kinds of wisdom in the Bible. We said the first wisdom is worldly wisdom. So you can know some things about science and you can be very good about at it. You can know some good stuff about this world, worldly stuff. The second wisdom is sensual wisdom, wisdom that is sensual. They are emotional. They are of the five senses. Wisdom you derive from your feelings. The third wisdom is what? Demonic wisdom. Suicide, thoughts of suicide is demonic wisdom. So people don't know that Satan gives demonic intelligence. He can give you ideas, craftiness in evil. These are all intelligences. It's a kind of wisdom. And the fourth kind of wisdom is what? The heavenly wisdom. And we explained that last week. Hallelujah. Are we following this thing at all? So now we came to number four, which we said, resist Satan's first overtures immediately. Resist Satan's first overtures. We said an overture is an approach, an attempt to make some, to meet someone to discuss or establish something. An approach to someone to establish or discuss something. So we said resist Satan's first attempt or approach to discuss things with you. Satan is a spirit being, but his influence, he can influence us in our thoughts. So anytime a thought comes to you, you need to be very careful, because I explained to you three processes of temptation. Every temptation begins with a what? It begins in the mind. It begins with a thought. And when the thought is not controlled, the thought graduates where? Into your emotion. So any thought that is giving time and attention, and any thought that is fed upon the more, now begins to produce an emotion. So if you don't deal with the thought now becomes a feeling, an emotion, strong desire. And when you don't deal with that emotion, it graduates into the will. So anybody that ended up doing something outside the will of God, it first began with a thought. He didn't deal with the thought entered into his emotion. He didn't deal with the emotion, and the thought entered into his will. So he lost strength to do the will of God because Satan wanted the mind. So listen, if you don't immediately resist Satan's first attempts, demonic thoughts that comes to your mind, the moment it comes, you know, sometimes you can be there as a lady, you begin to feel like sleeping with another lady. You don't know this thing. There can be desires in you for another woman, as a woman. If you don't deal with it and you assume that it was just a passing thought, that seed will enter into an emotion. And when it enters into your emotion, soon your will becomes more stronger in that area. So the day a woman who is also attracted to you comes close, you are already cooked. I know what I'm saying. You are already cooked. So your willpower to resist that attempt and that advancement is weak. And that is how many Christians lose. Praise God. So you resist it immediately. There are times you have to talk. You have to talk. Sometimes you behave as if you're a madman, a madwoman. These are things we do to keep ourselves safe. I reject you, Satan. I reject this thought in the name of Jesus. I can never do this in Jesus' name. I rebuke every voice in my mind. You have to learn to do it. Immediately, if it comes 10 times, you rebuke 10 times until it goes. Are you following this? And number five, we say strive to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, these things I'm giving to you are precious secrets. They are precious secrets. Don't take them for granted, because these things are happening in the lives of many Christians. There are some things you don't need prayer. You need strategy. And the strategy comes from the wisdom of God in scriptures. Are we following this? So we said, strive to be what? Filled with the Holy Ghost. And we explained in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, he says, do not be drunk with wine wherein is excess. He uses the effect of alcohol in a human body to explain the effect of the Holy Ghost in a human spirit when it is filled. And how are we filled with the Holy Ghost? The next verse says, speaking to yourselves. How many times have you been speaking to yourselves? In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. So speaking, singing. Then he says, making melody in your heart. Listen, you, if you don't take care as a child of God, sorrow and grief cannot begin to give you direction. I know what I'm saying. Sorrow and grief. Satan will give you 25 reasons why you must not rejoice. When the Bible says rejoice always, I say unto you, rejoice. Praise God. So, speaking, singing, making melody to your heart to the Lord, and number four, giving thanks, the verse 20. Always. I keep saying this. There are three things the Bible commands us to do always in the New Testament. Number one is what? Pray always. Ephesians 6:18. Number two is rejoice always. Philippians 4:4. And number three is what? Give thanks always. Listen, if you learn to do these three things always, your life and your Christian experience will never be the same again. Are you following me? Now, today's message. Number six, let me do it quickly. By the next 15 minutes, we start praying. Number six, remain humble. I'm sure somebody will be wondering, what role does humility play in warfare? Remain what? Humble. Listen, humility is one great weapon in spiritual warfare. And I'll just conclude it in this and explain. Satan's fall came because of pride. Likewise, a believer's fall in his Christian walk begins with pride. Satan knows by scripture that pride goes before a fall. He knows that. So he will cause pride to accompany you before he attacks you. Humility is the shield of the believer, is the weapon of the believer. Satan fears humble people. And I'm sure you see, I'm going to debunk a lot of theories people have about humility. Humility is not putting your hands at your back. Because how Africans have defined humility, when you go to US, Germany, Ukraine, what we say is humility is a lifestyle. What we say is pride is a lifestyle there. For example, when people are talking to you in the pocket, it's a cultural something. They can be chewing gum. When you know, in Africa like that, when someone is preaching or someone is talking to you, you don't cross your leg. Am I lying? In Europe, they cross their leg. It is normal. Please, are you following me? So what we define as humility is a cultural problem. Humility must be defined by scripture. Are you ready for this? So, to remain humble, what does that mean? Now, come with me to the book of James, chapter 4, the verse 6. Let's get some scriptures, then we move. The Bible says, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he said, God what? Resisted the proud. Can you imagine? Satan knows that when you walk in pride, you put your place, yourself in a place where God himself is opposing you. Are you seeing the essence of humility in spiritual warfare? Satan can, my goodness. But giveth what? Grace unto the humble. Listen. The reason why you will need humility in spiritual warfare is because humility dispenses more of the grace of God into your life. And without the grace of God, you can't win any spiritual battle. I can tell you on authority that I am not strong. I am helped. I'm not strong. I'm helped. Because our strength is in the Lord and not in ourselves. God gives more grace. to the humble. That's first verse. Now, look with me again to the book of 1 Peter chapter 5, the verse 6. 1 Peter 5, 6. Now, watch this. He says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may what? Exalt you in what? Due time. Isaiah chapter 57, the verse 15. I'm excited about this. Isaiah 57, the verse 15. Now look, he says, for thus saith the Lord, the high and lofty one that inhabited eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also. That is what? Of a contrite and what? Humble spirit. To revive the spirit of the and to revive the heart of, listen, revival and humility are friends. Intimacy and humility are also friends. Because he says, I am the one that dwells in the high and lofty place, but I don't dwell alone there. I dwell with, that's an intimate relationship, with him also that is of a humble spirit. So the first thing we are learning here is that pride is one of the things that fights against intimacy with God. You can never be God's roommate in pride. And then he also says to revive the spirit of the humble. So, intimacy and revival are all connected to humility. That should tell you the essence of humility. You see, Africa, our definition of humility is a problem. Let's say, for example, someone like Prophet Dr. Kofi Odoo. If you see the way he preaches with so much aggression, the assumption about that man is that, hey, the way this man is preaching with such authority, he must be proud. That is not how you define pride. If you meet that man of God, you'll be shocked. He is the extreme opposite of who he is on the pulpit. I'm telling you. Please, are we following something here? Today in Africa, when people are confident, they say they are proud. When you see people who are just confident in life, they are just confident. You look at them, meanwhile, the person is just naturally confident. You are timid. When you were a kid, everything you do, your parents will beat you. So it made you so timid. So when you see people who are confident, you assume they are proud. Listen, let's define humility well. If not, we'll hate people we are not supposed to hate. Let's take some two more verses and explain. Isaiah chapter 66, verse 1 and 2. When you go home, that's your assignment. Go and read them. He says, thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that he built unto me, and where is the place of rest of my rest? Look at the verse 2. The Bible says, for all those things hath my hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I what? Look, even to him that is poor and of what? A contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. So we are getting to know that humility has got to do with a man that trembles, has high regard for the word of God. That's a humble man. One who has high regard for God and his word. So the opposite of that is pride. Low regard for God and his word. Can we proceed? Now, Philippians 2:8 breaks the back of the bone. He says, Jesus, being found in a fashion as a man. Now, read the verse 6 to give us a better understanding. The verse 5. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in... So, this particular mindset was first found where? In Christ. Now, look at the next verse. Who being in the form of God, thought it what? No robbery to be equal with God. That means Jesus claimed equality with God. I and my Father are one. Now look at the next verse. He says, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. You are not here with me. And was made in the likeness of men. Now look at the next verse. He says, and being found in the fashion as a man, he what? Humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Look at the next verse. It says, wherefore God hath also what? Highly exalted him and given him a name. Amazing. So God giving you a name and God exalting you is connected to what? Humility. You're getting somewhere. So you can imagine, Jesus demonstrated humility in so many ways. He obeyed his parents. You read the Gospels. He humbled himself under his parents. He served men. Can you imagine? He washed the feet, the dirty feet of his disciples. And crowned his humility by his humiliating death. Hear this. Jesus knew the secret about humility as a remedy against Satan's onslaught over believers. Pride exposes believers to the devil. You know why? Because when Satan sees a proud Christian, he sees himself in him. This is a serious matter, I'm telling you. You know why? Because he fell as a result of pride. So when he identifies pride in the life of a believer, it's a quick magnetic field that attracts. Now, can I share something with you? Humility is the foundational trait that opens the door for all other Christian character traits. Humility, that's the foundation for every major Christian character trait. It begins with humility. So humility is the soil in which the fruit of the Spirit is developed. You will need humility to develop the fruit of the Spirit. That's the soil in which the character of God grows. Now, let me conclude this, then we pray. Humility is revealed in our attitude towards three systems. Humility is first revealed in our attitude towards God. That's number one. Write that down. Humility is revealed in our attitude towards God. Number two, humility is revealed in our attitude towards ourselves. And number three, humility is revealed in our attitude towards others. If you catch this revelation, God will help you. So humility is first revealed in our attitude towards who? God. Number two. And number three, others. You catch this, you're good to go. Now, let's explain the first one. Humility towards God is actually akin to the fear of God. So our humility is first revealed in our proper attitude towards God, in how we fear and reverence Him. When we are worshiping God like that, and then that holy reverence you have for God makes you lift your hands, kneel down, appreciate Him. It's a kind of humility. Are we following this? It is a high view of God whereby we see Him in His majesty, holiness, and awesomeness. When you begin to have a high regard, a high view of God with respect to His majesty, His holiness, and His awesomeness, you are beginning a journey of humility. So humility seed is first planted in the soil of God. That's the first thing. How you see God is what determines how humble you are. Please, are we following this? Moses saw God's presence and he bowed down and kneeled down. Daniel fell face down. Isaiah said, "Woe unto me, for I'm unclean." John fell as one that was dead. Ezekiel bowed down with hurt. Look, if you respect God, there is an attitude that He will show. I'm telling you. Please, are you following this thing? So, what we are trying to say now here, listen to this very important word. Humility towards ourselves and others are founded first on our attitude towards God. If your attitude towards God is not well established, your attitude towards yourself, because if you see God as high, you will never see yourself as one. If God is not the most high to you, you can't be high. You will know your place. If you know God was the one that made you, you will never assume anything is coming from you. What do you have that was not given to you? What did you receive that was not given? That's your attitude. Indeed, your attitude towards God, your high regard and view of God, how you worship Him, how you follow Him, is the first humility established, which leads to the success of the other ones. Please, are you following this? So that lackadaisical, sluggish, unconcerned that many Christians have for God is a sign you are not ready to receive from Him. I'm telling you. Sometimes when I see how Christians behave towards God's presence, and when they leave His presence, the way they behave towards other systems, it's a shock. You never dance in church, but you dance to all the worldly musics in the house, including the ones played in funeral. Hey, It's a shock. See, this attitude towards God is the key. And sometimes many of us don't know that when we are in God's presence, whether privately or corporately, God is just watching us. He's just observing us. I've seen Christians who disrespect ushers and lift up their hands during declaration to receive from God. You dishonored God's system. What are you waiting to receive? You see, many Christians are the reasons why they are where they are without knowing. I'm telling you. Christian who fights in church. You know, I was told in a church where two Christians were fighting over a girl. Hey! It was punch. It was a punch. One was an instrumentalist. And they were fighting after church. Boom! 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 And your pipe back one in the presence of God. When I heard that story, I said, "Hey, God must help our church. He must help the body of Christ." The disregard. Do you know those times in the temple? There's the place you don't cross. You don't cross. We don't reverence the holy things of God again. The holy things of God have been taken for granted. After all, we are all under grace. Come on. There's nothing wrong with it. So that's number one. Number two is our attitude towards what? Toward what? Ourselves. This one is good. Now, it deals with not allowing our influence. Please, this is a very important thing you need to note down, because it will happen to you very soon if it's not happening to you now. Humility towards ourselves deals with not allowing our influence, our name, our achievements, our wealth, our blessings, our status, our possessions. So let me say that again. It is not allowing our influence, our name, our achievement, our wealth, our blessings, our status, our possessions to get into our heads and our hearts. So your influence, your name, your possessions, your status. Formerly you were not Mrs. Now you are Mrs. Please, you don't talk to me like that, because can't you see my ring? I've seen people who get married and they don't join choir again. I'm telling you something serious. Marriage is a graduation from God's service. I'm teaching good here. So listen to me. So humility towards ourselves. You need to do a search on yourself. How has your status, your possession, your wealth, your influence, your name, how has it affected you? Some of you changed the day you started using iPhone. Some people change when their salary increased from 1,000 Ghana cedis to 3,500. That's how you change. And God is like, only 1,005 difference. Huh.
Hey, hey, don't talk to me like that. What, do you know me? Do you know why I'm 3'5"? 3'5". Tell somebody 3'5". Do you know who I am? God have mercy, you. Maybe they call you Pastor Matthew, and someone mistakenly call you Brother Matthew. Hey! One man was not well addressed in a meeting. He was supposed to be called Right Reverend Doctor so-so and so, and they called him Reverend. He says, no, it's Right Reverend. Add the right to it. He stopped the whole service to correct them. When Apostle Paul was struck with the light in Acts 9, and then Paul asked Jesus, who are you? Jesus didn't say, Paul, <tie. laughs> I am the Most High above all the other gods, the omnipotent, invisible, unchangeable, eternal, omnipresent, omniscient. Paul would think and say, why? I didn't know this question. Go and read the book of Acts chapter 9. Paul said, I am Jesus. I said, what? Jesus called himself Jesus. Anyone who asks my name, I will never add prophet to it. Hey! Now, you don't know this thing. See, how many of you have heard of a man of God called Kenneth Hagin? Upon all that man's anointing, nobody in his church called him Prophet Reverend Hagin. They called him Brother Hagin. That was all. Brother Hagin. Let's say it together. Brother Hagin. Sometimes, sometimes I get a little uncomfortable when I'm hearing too much, Papa and Daddy. I feel bad. I'm telling you. I feel I'm in trouble. Because minye shime radi. God help us all. That name, I tell God, may that name never eat into me. Papa, Mama. It can be your end. I'm telling you. Your name, your status, your influence. Some small money data account inside. You have done some investment and now the thing has ripped to 50K. Charlie, so the thing is how you see yourself. When you appear in a place, you know, see sometimes, and this thing happens to us more as people who do ministry. You appear in a place, you're expecting that they are supposed to move you from the back. And then they move you to the front. Once you appear in a place and you are not giving down references, I won't appear here again. Meanwhile, Jesus said, when you appear in a place, don't quickly go to the front for them to say, oh, someone, a bigger man of God than you is sitting here, so can you move to the back? It's more embarrassing. I've seen some several times. Where people came with big shoes to come and sit in the front and say, oh, please, can you turn to the third row, because another man of God is coming in. Then that embarrassment of you getting up. He says, sit at the back and let people, what? Call you to the front. The Bible is teaching us humility. When you are too high and lofty in yourself, it's too dangerous for you. See, maintain a low view of yourself so that you are not disappointed. Listen, in life, if you have too many expectations, you'll be too offended. Have you ever been offended that on your birthday you were expecting 300 people to call you? You are expecting 300 people to call you, and two called. That feeling that you have, if you don't take care, it's a revelation of pride. Because you think you should be celebrated in a certain special way, you know? They are supposed, you know, cake is supposed to surround you. Fried rice, people are supposed to flooding you with calls and mumbo alerts, and I'm talking by experience. Yo. Last year, I think on my birthday, none of the ministers called me on my birthday. I was offended. And I called and said, hey, it's all what I've done for you people. I know you are who you are by the grace of God, but me can be. Hey, none of them called me. If it is normal church members, fine. But ministers, my own people, I was offended. I called Kweku. I said, hey, Kweku, salam out here. When I hung up the line, the Holy Ghost says, son, you are proud. So your expectations are high. You want them to put you on a palanquin. You are proud. Have you realized this year I didn't mind you people? Because the Holy Ghost dealt with me. See, check your heart. Anything that wants to lift you up beyond a certain kind of place God has placed you, be very careful. Don't have too much expectations for yourself. Don't put yourself in a class God has not put you. And even when God puts you there, refuse to accept it in your own heart. Refuse it. So, little offenses in the heart of people, it was caused because they placed themselves in a certain rank. It was not the fault of the people they think offended them. It is their heart that has been lifted above a certain measure God has given to them. That is what sparked the offense. I went to a program somewhere and I was not well treated. I was actually offended. I was going to say tempted to be offended. I was offended. And I said, I won't go there again. The Holy Ghost says, son, when did you have a status about your life? When did you have a status? Tell me, when did you have a status? I went to do a program last year, December, or last 2 years, December, in one of my son's place at Cape Coast. Was it Cape Coast or Winneba? Cape Coast. And when we entered the place, the hotel they put me, I'm telling you, when they put you there, you like it. I saw cockroaches in the hotel. Very old hotel. In fact, Pastor Skapa was not happy. And he came and said, Papa, we will manage this place. We are taking you to another hotel. Pack your things and let's go. I said, Pastor Skapa, sit down. I sat down. I said, see, the guy doesn't have anything. If I pack the items and I move to another hotel, he's going to feel embarrassed that he couldn't place me in a certain class. And the next day when I'm preaching, the guy will be down. And that is not godly. I'll stay here. That's how I stay. And when I was done preaching, it was I who gave him honorarium and came back with my own fuel. So you see, God will be observing. Oh, so see, God does not lift men for nothing. He checks the heart of people. If I tell you the things God has done to kill this thing in my heart. You see, I always share some of my experiences, because you need it. Please, are you following this thing? There was a time I had a little argument with my wife. I just wanted to show her something small. So I said, I won't sleep on the bed. So I came to sleep on the floor. He said, you won't sleep on the bed. I didn't mind her. And the Holy Ghost said, if you wake up in the morning on this floor, that's your end of your ministry. And then she was asleep. And while I'm farming to my Nimi Sumi, before she realized someone slept on the bed quietly. I didn't say it quietly. While I'm dying. Because see, what happened was that when I heard that voice, if I delayed me die, my ministry was over. So you see, that's how come me. It will be hard that you hear some bad news like that, because the Holy Ghost is the one in charge of the marriage. I don't have a say. You see, that's how come we said humility is a high view of God. It was the respect I had for God that made me jump back into the bed. I didn't say apostolic prophet Isaac Lapapo, the one, you know, all these men of God are inviting this guy, so I won't sleep. That would have been my end. And some of you, the reason why God can't take you far is because he tested you in little things and you failed. One man of God dishonored me. I said, I won't call that guy again. I was praying. The Holy Ghost said, take your phone. I took the phone. He said, dial this number. That was his number. He said, call him and check up on him. It was the most difficult thing I ever imagined to do in my life. Some of you, the Lord will tell you to call somebody you have carried with. As I speak to you, the Holy Ghost is talking to you now. I hear the name Mercy, Mercy, Mercy. You tell you to call the person. And you see, he's testing you. See, because God must break your pride before he will take you for a ride. So he will break it until there is nothing about you. See, until God has killed you, he can't raise you. He has to kill you. Every amount of pride, he will drain it, squeeze it out of your life, so that any platform or wherever he takes you, that glory will not kill you. The final one before we pray is your attitude towards others. Now, this is a very important one, because your attitude towards others has got to do with submitting yourself to others. Submitting yourself to others for instruction and correction from other believers is also another very difficult thing to do. And see, it's very hard sometimes when you have to listen to instructions from someone you think you are older than. Or someone you think you are more graced than. Or someone you think you are more anointed than. And that's how God tests us. I was a prophet in my former church, yet I was a chorister. And I was instructed when I was a chorister and a prophet in the church. I was doing programs in the church. I was the first prophet that God raised in a church. We had close to 20 branches. I was the first prophet. That's my dad's church. Do you know what it means to minister to people prophetically and they believe the grace of God on you and honor you? Then you come back to usher and to sing. See, I'm telling you, God does not raise people, bless people by accident. I'm telling you. Check the life of Solomon. Check the life of David. God, check the life of Moses. God doesn't raise people, honor people, place his mark and seal on people by accident. I'm telling you. So that one has got to do with receiving instruction and correction from other believers. Being teachable and humble to admit we have erred when another believer corrects us. And this thing we are talking about is a remedy against Satan's devices. You open a door for Satan to attack you by your attitude towards God, your attitude towards yourself, and your attitude towards other believers. Be watchful. Sometimes I may not be the one to say lift up your hands. It may be the one leading us in worship will say lift up your hands, and your mind is that, who are you to tell me to lift up my hands? Forgetting that at that time that person is God's vessel, the one God appointed to bless your life. Listen, there have been people who were healed by opening prayer. There have been people that God opened multifaceted doors because they listened to instructions by a worship leader. And you see, the truth be told, we will never see God in his actual literal form. We will see God through men. Please, are we following this? So listen to me. Sometimes some people will correct you. Sometimes when people correct you, the next day, thank them. Listen, do you know it's not everybody in this church I can rebuke? Why? Because I'm not a fool. I observe people, I check people, I really discern people. I'm very careful. If I look at you and I rebuke you, that means that you have crossed a certain line that I know that you will never be offended. I know that where I've gotten with you, my relationship, you are rebukable. One time, Pastor Ben called me and said, Papa, I'm worried about something. I said, well, he said, ever since I've known you for 9 years, you have never rebuked me before. And that time, I didn't even know. I said, really? He said, Papa, I beg you, if I do anything that is wrong, please tell me to my face. I said, yes, sir. I love that gesture. I'm telling you. Listen, let me tell you, if you're in this world and nobody can rebuke you, and nobody has rebuked you, in fact, this year, if nobody has rebuked you, you are in danger. Can we still move it? It's a serious matter I'm sharing with you. It's a serious matter. I'm serious. Very, very serious. Rebuke is food for believers. Apostle Paul told Timothy, rebuke sharply that people will be sound in the faith. So rebuke is part of making believers sound. But you know something? Many people don't like it because rebuke seems embarrassing. I've rebuked Caris several times. There was a time he wore Charlie Watte to church on a Sunday and t-shirt. I said, Caris, how can you? And I embarrassed him in church workers meeting. I realized he never repeated that again. But I saw that when I called him, I was talking, Caris was very okay. I was testing him. He didn't know. Sometimes also do the projection work. It's very deliberate too. Me, I may come home. Then I'm observing. Praise God. See, learn to take rebuke from people. Other believers, our own believers, among ourselves, among ministers. One can rebuke another, but actually, how you handled this thing wasn't nice. Accept it in good faith. Because, Lee, as we are walking, we don't see our back. We don't have eyes at our back. So God gave other believers to become our eyes. But actually, the way you are handling this thing, be careful. Let's do it this way. Let's do it this way. Go and say sorry to him. You see, God puts other believers as our guard to help us advance the kingdom together. Listen to me. The reason why God gave other believers is for submitting to one another. That is why I am regarded by you as a father. Me too, I have father. In fact, I have fathers who also rebuke me, because when a man of God become king of kings, he gives instructions. He doesn't take some. He doesn't take instructions, but he only gives. That man of God will soon backslide and fall into pride. So whilst I'm rebuking or instructing, someone is also instructing me. Please, are you following this thing? Listen, God did this to kill pride in our members.
So we must learn to receive instructions, receive rebukes, and receive correction from one another. It is part of what God put in place to help us to fight against Satan's onslaught against us as believers. Don't find it hard to say sorry to another believer. I'm telling you the truth. I've apologized to one member before. Oh, you don't know that. And it was very sincere. I didn't say I'm the head pastor, so if I've said something and the person wasn't happy, I'll say, how dare you be offended that offended you? I'm not that type of person. I'm telling you, my life is not complicated though. I have not complicated my life. Please, are we following this thing? So listen, this thing we are talking about is even on departmental levels. I'm telling you, when we feel, okay, I'm older than this one, so this one can't tell me what to do. You don't know that you are cutting yourself from grace. God will never supply grace to you. I'm teaching good here. We continue next week. Please, are you instructed? Are you blessed? God is helping us. Now, you want to pray one prayer, then we move into more deeper dimensions of prayer. You want to pray and say, the Lord, teach me to fear you and see myself the way you see me. Because if you don't see yourself the way God sees you, you may assume something about yourself that will destroy you. You are not a big man or a big woman. No. You are God's man. You are God's woman. That's all that matters. Your title means nothing. Your status means nothing. Take an introspective look at yourself. Maybe there is an area the Holy Ghost through my voice pinpointed in your life. Maybe you dishonored your parents in a very proud way. Or you spoke words that revealed pride. You want to ask the Lord to show you mercy and help you be a better believer next time. Bashade Bokofra TV Satake Lemezo Sefe Lakishi. You know, these are moments that God cherishes. It's not always about we playing drum and shaking our head and praying in tongues with power and fire. No, it's not always about that. There are days we need to be sober before our Maker and tell Him we are sorry, and tell Him we need grace, and tell Him we need help, and tell Him that we need to be consecrated, and tell Him to search us and show you where you are at fault, and show you which area in your life destroying your relationship with God. Maybe you are the type of person that easily does not take corrections. You want to ask God to help you. Maybe it's genuinely not your fault, but you want to ask God to help you. You want to ask God to help you. Maybe you destroyed a certain relationship by your attitude. The Lord is calling you to go back and make things right. He's telling you to go back and place a phone call to make things right. You don't have to be a friend to the person, but make sure you make things right. You didn't handle a relationship well. God wants you to make things right.
Hallelujah to the Lord. Sing hallelujah to the Lord. Sing hallelujah. Sing hallelujah. Sing hallelujah to the Lord.
Lift your voice and pray. The next 3 minutes.
Sing hallelujah to the Lord. Sing hallelujah to the Lord. Sing hallelujah. Sing hallelujah. Sing hallelujah to the Lord.
You have 2 minutes more.
Sing hallelujah to the Lord. Sing hallelujah to the Lord. Sing hallelujah. Sing hallelujah. Sing hallelujah.
Lift your voice and pray in the Holy Ghost.
Oh,
lift your voice and begin to pray in the Holy Ghost right now. Lift your voice and pray in the Holy Ghost. Let me hear your voice as you pray. Just pray in the Spirit. Just pray in the Spirit. Daleko prashantane moko frate stopalata. Let the whole church be filled with praying men and praying women. Lift your voice and pray. Leko fele manuku brato sapala shanta. Zandike stombra takela brasha tage. Lift your voice. Lift your voice. Lift your voice. Let me hear your voice. Batele brashi kela tonda. Yekike, yekike lena makombra timba. Yepomo shafala tikenda. Rapapala da sekete na maya. Yebolo, Brasha, Tamasanta, Leganta, La Brosha, Yebolo, Londo, Yebolo, Londo, Shanda, Nebrando, Siva, lift your voice and pray. Lift your voice and pray. Come on, lift your voice and begin.